Do any of you belong to a civic or social organization? Moose, Elks, Masons, Kiwanis, Lions Club, Rotary, Knights of Columbus? Maybe the wrong crowd for that here, I think. Any of you belong to any of those groups? How's membership been? On the rise? It's no surprise to anyone, I think, if you belong to those groups, that, and even churches for that matter, that membership has been declining. People in the know, you know, those people that call themselves experts and write articles, they are quick to point out that we as a society, since the internet and cell phone have shown up, have moved towards more, they say, isolating kinds of entertainment and interaction through the net, which is a fancy way of saying we get together less in person and more through technology. Now, the flip side of that, and that sounds bad, but the flip side of that is Facebook is the thing that has most helped us to keep together as a church during COVID. Could you imagine what this last year would have been like if we didn't have social media to hold us together while we were isolated at home? I can't even imagine how we would have done any of the things that we've done over this past year, from worship to education to even our children and youth getting together, if we didn't have that. Now, Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, he founded it when he was a college student at Harvard back in 2004, and he designed Facebook as a way for college students to stay in touch. And since then, it has turned into a worldwide network of 2 billion users. I was surprised at that number, 2 billion users who interact with friends, and we have to put that in quotes, because some of them have never been met in person. Any of you have a Facebook friend you've never actually physically met? Right? It's absolutely possible. So what was originally a place to connect and reconnect with old friends has turned into this global phenomenon that, as the official party line goes, shrinks the distance between people and gives them an opportunity to interact and share themselves with one another, which sounds great and noble, doesn't it? And Zuckerberg goes on to say, it's striking that for decades, membership in all kinds of groups has declined by as much as a quarter. That's a lot of people who now need to find a sense of purpose and support somewhere else. And he says that somewhere else is Facebook, which he sees as, in his words, postmodern, post-traditional, think on that for a while, form of church, as he calls it. People who go to church are more likely to volunteer and give to charity, he says, not just because they're religious, but because they're part of a community. Now, his vision of Facebook as a kind of church doesn't have anything to do with God at all. It's more about community just for the sake of community. Any of you belong to a Facebook group just because that group happens to share an interest of yours? But in the Facebook church, who or what is being worshiped? And what is the purpose of the community? And even more importantly, what do all those cat videos and stupid cartoons that people post every day have to do with anything? And you know what I mean. Comparing a virtual church of billions of isolated individuals tapping on keyboards to the real thing, but what do you think about that, you sitting here? Does that kind of make you maybe laugh a little bit, shake your head? But we have to ask the question, what is the church missing that allows Facebook and millions of others to want to substitute wading through political rants and raves and vacation selfies for real interaction with a living, breathing, worshiping community, which is a fancy way of saying you? And what is it about us that's let us happen? Let this happen? For the answer, we need to go all the way back to the church's roots. And the book of Acts is exactly that. It is the story of the church's roots. And for the next so many weeks, that's exactly what we'll be doing, looking at the book of Acts. reading from Acts in worship in the book of Acts, we get a portrait of the early church as a faith community that worships and evangelizes and shares their lives together, face to face. They're united by their faith in Christ, and they live those shared lives up close and personal. And at our best, that's what the church does, right? You've been there. You've helped at those times or been helped by your church in those times. And while Facebook's innovation has had an amazing impact on the world by bringing us faces of friends and family right to our screen, the church allows us to experience faces, the faces and lives of people in our community of faith together. From the very beginning of Acts, we learn that God, through the Holy Spirit, created this community that's to be called the church, not for the purpose of people checking out one another, but for introducing people to the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ through the life and death and resurrection. The very premise of our community was that God had come in person to share our life face to face. God in Jesus Christ was not interested in a long-term, long-distance relationship. His desire was to form a real community of disciples and train them in how to interact with other people face to face in order to bring them into God's kingdom. God's vision for the church was for it to be a physical community of believers who shared face to face with each other and helped each other face to face. I think that Jesus and Zuckerberg would have very different definitions about what the word church means. Together in one place and together in space are not the same thing. Have you ever found yourself, I know you've all played on Facebook, have you ever found yourself getting jealous over the amazing and fulfilling lives you see people living according to their Facebook profile? Picture perfect vacations. You've seen those pictures, right? Do you ever get to go on those amazing vacations you see on Facebook? Those wonderful spouses and children, ideal jobs. What we see in someone's Facebook profile is precisely what they want us to see and know more, right? Those vacation photos and pictures of new cars and beautiful selfies are all designed in some way to show everyone else that we are doing quite well, right? For some people, the goal is to attract more friends and receive more likes. And there's a lot of evidence that that just leads to depression. Because people see the lives their friends live online as so much better than theirs. Now, the church, on the other hand, is a community where people focus on other people rather than themselves. It was created as a group centered on belief in the God who saved them because they were all in the same situation. They were all sinners in need of grace. They had no impression to manage because they were all outsiders. Instead, they were of one heart and soul, as we read in Acts today. They were completely focused on what God had done for them in Jesus Christ, and they modeled their lives after Christ by voluntarily and sacrificially caring for each other, to the point of seeing their own personal possessions as being available to everyone else in the community. They lived their shared lives, warts and all, helping those who they knew were in need and letting themselves be helped when they were in need. They shared who and what they really were with each other. And it was that need for community that the early church had, that the believers had, that led them to be generous with one another. As God had been generous with his grace in Christ, so they could be generous with one another, believing that their lives were part of something bigger than themselves. Luke says that there was not a needy person among them, and that members of the church community sold property and gave the proceeds to the apostles to distribute to those who were in need. Wow, I want to be the pastor for that church. And that's a lot different than the charity you find on social media, right? Which usually involves nothing more than a couple of clicks to make a $5 donation or sharing a cute supportive emoji on someone's page. The early church was driven by generosity that came from their gratitude for what God had done for them. People gave out of their scarcity so that others could have enough. Facebook is driven by advertising and gives people the opportunity to maybe give a little they might have left over after that expensive vacation that generated all those wonderful pics. They helped each other live better lives. This is the church, just as God in Christ had helped their lives be richer and fuller in meaning. You know, there's no doubt that Facebook has launched a revolution in the way people relate to one another in our age, and that's great. It's held us together through a rough year. It's allowed us to continue to worship as a community of faith. We have people who share in worship with us from all over the country, or you folks, when you're away and visiting somewhere else, tune in and share with us in worship on a Sunday morning. And we're glad you're all here today, Facebook friends, right? Are we not glad they are all here? Today and every Sunday. And Zoom. Linda, Shelley, could you ever forget Zoom? Zoom has been a vital tool for our session, our committees, our children, our youth, our Sunday school, our Bible studies. Those have all continued over the airwaves when we couldn't meet in person. But here's the thing. I knew it from last March when Facebook Church replaced in-person worship, and I could tell from the start as Zoom replaced our in-person meetings, and so many of you have said the same thing. It can never replace the church and its impact. It's like Cool Whip versus real whipped cream, or carob, whatever the heck that is, versus chocolate, or baked potato chips. It's okay, but it sure ain't the real thing, is it? Come home. It's time. It's way past time. We can once again be people of the book who share with one another face to face, live and alive. I am so thrilled that so many of you have returned to worship. And like I said, I think three or four more people today have come back for the first time or are planning to, as soon as your vaccinations are completed, come home again, because we are here, Christ's beloved community of believers in this time and place. So come home again. And as for you Facebook friends that are not able to join us for in-person worship, whether because of distance or health or whatever that reason, hear this and know this. You are with us and you belong. This is your home. We love having you as part of our beloved community, now and always. You are already home. Thanks to Facebook. But thanks be to God who unites us as a community of believers each time we gather, whether it's in person or through technology. That is what real church is all about. And sometimes it may even involve Facebook or Zoom. But it's always better in person. So have you come home yet? What's holding you back? Amen.